I pray that I may speak and you may hear, in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Before I begin, a word to those who've been wondering, why is he dressed up like a bishop? I'm not. And I'm not simply trying to outdo the other colourful academic hoods that are here tonight. This is the choir dress of a Doctor of Divinity. But because many bishops were Doctors of Divinity, and those who weren't quickly were received honorary DDs from their universities, it became the dress of bishops. So we are not copying them, they are copying us. Though, as you can perhaps see, the outfit was designed for a colder climate than this. So on to the sermon. When I was asked to preach tonight, my immediate reaction was, no problem. After 48 years as a priest, plus another as a deacon, I must surely have an old sermon on Barnabas that I can dust off and simply repeat. They'll never know. But to my surprise, I couldn't find a single one in my files. In all those years, apparently, I've never preached on this occasion. But when you look at what we actually know about Barnabas, it doesn't offer very much material out of which to weave a sermon. He's called an apostle in the New Testament, but he wasn't one of the original 12, so we can't make much out of that. His real name was Joseph. He was a Cypriot Jew, and it was the apostles who gave him the name Barnabas, which means son of consolation or encouragement. Now, whole sermons have been preached on just those few words, but it didn't appeal to me. We're told in the New Testament that Barnabas sold some land that he owned and gave the money to the apostles. So there's a promising basis for a sermon I could preach on the importance of Christian giving, especially as it's immediately followed in the Acts of the Apostles by that cautionary tale of Ananias and Sapphira, who kept back for themselves some of the money and only gave part to the apostles, with tragic consequences. But then I thought, it sounds too much like a stewardship address. And so I rejected that idea too. So what else are we told about Barnabas? Well, he, as we heard in tonight's lesson, he was the one who brought Paul to the apostles in Jerusalem after his conversion and convinced them that he was genuine in his faith. He was then sent to Antioch to preach, and we're told that he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. But that still doesn't give me much to go on for a sermon. Barnabas then goes to Tarsus to get Paul to come to Antioch, and thereafter in the Acts of the Apostles, his name is always linked with Paul's. The two of them carry aid to the distressed Christians in Jerusalem. Then the two of them are commissioned for missionary work together, again as we heard at the end of the second lesson, and so on. Indeed, the only time that Barnabas seems to do anything on his own is when he and Paul have a disagreement about taking John Mark with them, and they split up, and we don't hear any more of Barnabas after that. So he was really no more than Paul's companion. But, you know, maybe that is something worth focusing this sermon on, being a good companion. After all, most of us in our lives are companions in one way or another, which would then make Barnabas, it seems to me, a better role model than the other leading saints that are so often held up to us as examples and models for us to follow. Few of us are called to be a Peter or a Paul. Few of us are called to be a great leader, a great missionary, a great martyr, and so on. we generally play a much more subordinate role. In my professional life, I've only been a rector relatively briefly. Otherwise, I've always been subordinate to someone else. Of course, when I was younger and even more foolish than I am today, I used to think I'd quite like to be a bishop. But then my wife brought me down to earth. You'd enjoy it for 6 months, she said, but after that you'd hate it. The responsibility, the stresses, the worries that went with it. This doesn't mean, however, that being a companion isn't important. I suggest it's quite the opposite. We all need companions. Where would Batman be without Robin? Or Sherlock Holmes without Dr. Watson? Or Charlie Brown without Lucy? And surely you must know the saying that behind every great man is an exhausted woman. Nor is being a companion always that easy. I'm pretty sure that being a companion to someone like the Apostle Paul was not an easy task for Barnabas to undertake. So I can see why they quarreled in the end. Paul could be a difficult person, not easy to get along with, it seems to me, from reading the New Testament. And many people have found that trying to be a companion to aging parents has been a similar trial. People do not always become sweeter as they get older. They can treat their adult offspring as though they were still little children, and even behave like children themselves, but sadly children who will never grow out of it, and the more so if dementia strikes. Being a companion is a very demanding task. For a good companion needs to exhibit constancy, to be a steady influence when the world around is changing, an anchor or a rock in an unstable world, someone who can be relied upon, someone always there supporting. And yet a good companion needs to be able to speak unpopular truths when necessary. Not just someone who boosts another's ego by always agreeing with them, but someone who can stand up to them when that is what is needed. It sounds a daunting task, and indeed it can be. It can cause mental stress, and it's something most of us fail to attain most of the time. This is beginning to sound a rather depressing sermon. But struggle and slipping are not the whole story. For the Christian good companion, there's another dimension. Christianity isn't just about the enormous personal moral effort that we need to put in to try to be good. It's not just an ethical code that we should try and live by. For above all, it's about divine grace. Now, grace isn't some quasi-magical power that we can draw on to enable us to overcome our weaknesses and turn us into the perfect people we've always longed to be. Grace does not fundamentally change our human nature, however much we wish it would. But grace does help us turn our weaknesses into strengths, to enable us to be the individuals we're meant to be. Grace means forgiveness when we get things wrong. Grace means guidance when we don't know which way to turn. Grace enables us to draw on reserves we didn't know we had, and to persevere even in the face of the darkness of our path ahead. So, Barnabas wasn't just a good man. He was, as the Acts of the Apostles says, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. That was what made the whole difference to him, as it does to us. And for that, Thanks be to God.